The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
You're listening to the PVD Cast with John Orlando.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD Cast. I am your humble host and your podcast purveyor, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 508. I hope all is well with you out there, and thank you very much for checking out this edition of the PVD Cast. Well, as you sit down to listen to this episode, I must inform you that this will be the last new episode for 2025. I'm going to take my little hiatus that I always do around the holidays. I'm going to be traveling up to Rhode Island to visit mom and stepdad and kind of just want to just not have to have the responsibility of putting out an episode over the holidays, especially because I drop them on Thursdays. And let's see, Christmas is on a Thursday, so is New Year's Eve or New Year's Day, I believe, as well. So I'm just going to relax and enjoy my break. I will be back January 8th with a new episode. So there you go. Something to look forward to in the new year. Well, let's talk a little bit about the topic for this episode. And that topic is, of course, the retirement of John Cena. Gerald Glassford from the Pop Culture Cosmos is going to join me. And we are going to discuss everything about what happened last Saturday at Saturday Night's main event when John Cena faced Gunther in a match that was his last. And there's a lot of controversy about what happened and how things went down and who was involved in it. And we're going to cover that from every single angle possible. But we're also going to give our two cents worth on some folks that we think could be the next big superstar. All right, some of those folks that are plying their trade in the world of wrestling. And so, yes, as I said, we will give our opinions to who we think might be the next big superstar, the next big person to break out. And so with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not going to waste any more time. I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, you're going to hear myself and Gerald Glassford talk about Cena's retirement.
We're here for a special edition of the State of Pro Wrestling. It's Gerald Glassford from the Pop Culture Cosmos, Lakers Fast Break, and Inside Sports Fantasy Football. But I wouldn't be getting into the ring without my tag team partner himself, the amazing man he is indeed. He weighs in at a weight of 200, or do you want to say 180?
We'll go 180. We'll go okay. 180.
180 pounds. He fights out of the beautiful city of Unknown. It is, of course, my good friend, Mr. John Orlando from the PVD Cast and Matt Talk as well. John Orlando. What's up, my friend?
Well, not much. Yeah, we're going to go 180. Although I think after all the holidays, I probably might tip in at that 220. And that's not going to be a good 220, by the way. Just
All right, yes. Juicing up, per se. There you go. It's okay. You know?
Hey, that's what the holidays are for, right?
Yeah. Seems to be more socially acceptable in terms, you know, as long as you can pass a drug test when you need to. They tell you ahead of time. If you're one of the favored nations in professional wrestling, they'll let you know ahead of time so you can cycle off in advance of your drug testing. So I'll just leave it at that, my friend. But looking forward to the holidays, going ahead and making sure everybody's out there with all the great stuff that's going on. But do want to cover a couple of great topics for today's show. Recently, John Cena retired as far as from the WWE and from pro wrestling. For now, I'm going to say, because I'm not convinced until the Saudi WrestleMania goes by and he's not wrestling on it, I'm going to say he's not entirely 100% retired. But okay, John Cena's retirement match took place recently against Gunther, and I know that there's a lot of people talking about it, so we're going to go ahead and discuss that. Plus, also as well, we're going to spend some time talking about the future of pro wrestling, because there's a lot of stars out there that might be the future superstars, the mega stars, to quote LA Knight, in the future. Who are they? We're going to go ahead and talk about that on the show as well. So, John, great to have you here, my friend. I know that this is the holiday season as we record this, but I'm telling you what, it's always been great to talk pro wrestling with you. I cannot wait until we have an episode where we can discuss the best of 2025 in pro wrestling. Mm-hmm. I know that the best of 2025 in pro wrestling will not be John Cena versus Gunther. For many people out there, they're very upset about what's going on with the decision that was made. If you got a chance to watch the match, all 20 of you that are having the ability to go ahead and watch it on Peacock, I want to go ahead and let you know you were very much treated to an interesting event, to say the least. Your thoughts, my friend? Gunther is now becoming the legend killer, making John Cena submit to and tap out to the sleeper. Your thoughts, my friend, after a back and forth match, very hard fought, very physical. I will give them that. And John Cena did some different things outside of his normal five move set, which he's actually done quite a bit. I'm going to give him a lot of kudos on this farewell tour. He's actually done a lot of different things than what we've seen from him in the past 15 or so years over the course of his career. I'm going to give him a ton of credit for that. So in doing so, though, he did something different as well, and he tapped out to Gunther. So your thoughts, my friend? We will get into the whole reaction, the Triple H stuff that's going in there, but I wanted to see your initial reactions on what you thought of the finish between John Cena and Gunther.
Okay, I thought that the match itself was pretty good. To me, there were a little bit more false finishes than I would like, but I cut it some slack because it's Cena's last match. You want to take the audience up and down, up and down. If that was a regular match on Raw, I would have complained about that, but I'll give credit where credit is due. The false finishes, okay, fine. They're there. They did a few too many that I think, but I felt like the ending just, it was missing something. Like, it needed to either be out of nowhere that Gunther gets some type of maneuver on Cena, or Cena just completely passes out in the sleeper hold. It needed to be one of those two, and it was this weird, like, Cena wasn't, like, fighting. Like, he looked like he just laid down and was, like, and tapped. Like, it was odd. It was very, very odd. And I definitely think that, you know, there's old school pro wrestling thinking from my experience has been that, you know, your first match you lose on your way out. That's just the way it is. But I mean, you got to let Cena win. If you're not going to have him pass completely out and be done, then you got to let him go over. You have to give the people what they want. This is what the people wanted. And it's John Cena. It's not like it's Jimmy Uso or LA Knight or Sami Zayn, all due respect to those guys, but this is John Cena. I just felt like it fizzled out at the end is the best way I can describe it.
Sort of like the tour, the farewell tour in general, right?
Yeah, kind of. Yeah.
You know, we had the attempted heel turn that didn't really work real well. And then, you know, Brock Lesnar being the first opponent, which I think should have been one of the later opponents for Cena. There's some things that were done that made this a little bit a little less than it should have been. We'll just say it that way.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm going to say this. You know, I understand what the ramifications are with how it's been handled, this whole farewell tour for John Cena, and it's not been to everyone's liking. John Cena, okay, I don't know what the persona he's been giving off behind the scenes, but the persona in front of the cameras, he's been pretty much go with the flow John Cena. Whatever you guys want to do, I'm good with it. You want me to be champion? Okay, I'll do it. You want me to be heel? Yeah, I'll do it. You want me to lose to this guy or that guy or this guy? Okay, I'll do it. You want me to win and then lose a title because I just wanted to go ahead and win the Intercontinental title for one time? Okay, I'll do it. It's no big deal. You want me to go ahead and tap out to Gunther? Okay. All right. I'll do it. It just seems like that's what this whole storyline has been the entire time. John Cena just going with the flow. Yeah. Great. I'm just happy to be here. I wanted to do more dates. We couldn't work on out more dates as far as with the WWE because he talked about doing as many as 200 dates and got whittled down to is what you saw there. I think also insurance had a lot to do with that as far as because of his other commitments outside of the WWE universe. Okay, no worries. Okay, that's good. All right. But the thing is, you have to look at the bigger picture of him tapping out. And it came in the form of Triple H, Paul Levesque, who is the creative lead for WWE. And when he came out, he got showered with booze because everybody assumes that, you know, he's the one that directed the order for, you know, John Cena to lose that match in the manner and the way that it happened. So he got showered, as you know, John, with a ton of expletives, a ton of boos. And as all the WWE wrestlers milled out there and celebrated him, and Cody Rhodes and CM Punk down on one knee, like they're proposing to him, and then they, you know, give him the honor and the title. I thought that was like making me vomit. You know, okay, all right. I get it. You appreciate his work and his bounce. He's not the GOAT. He's had a great career. He is one of the greatest of all time, as far as you can put it, as far as that context. But he's not the GOAT. I think this whole tagline of GOAT, you can't justify it. I mean, there's been maybe a dozen guys that might have had similar or better careers that you could map up against, from Flair, El Santo, you can go Japan with Baba, you can go, you know, so many different directions. Hogan, Austin, you know, The Rock. You know, so many can go ahead and match up their careers. And I was looking at the financial numbers over the course of the past 30 years with the revenue made by the WWE. And there was a period with John Cena where it moved in the beginning of his career, where it moved up a certain level. And then there was another period where in the 2010s moved up another level. And does he directly coincide with that growth? He does. And in many ways, he was a part of it. But I just don't think that you could say that he is the GOAT and just kept shoving it down our throats. Michael Cole kept repeating it ad nauseum and whatnot. And if he is your favorite wrestler of all time, he is one of the greatest of all time. I will never dispute that, never say otherwise. But to have him go out like this, I obviously, as a fan of the wrestling business, I don't like it. I don't like the fact that you always have to lose. I don't like that mentality. I like the fact that the fans should be treated to whatever that last wrestling performance from that wrestler they would like to see. And I know what they wanted to see. I know what they packed. I know that arena. The night that match took place, what they wanted to see. I know that they paid enormous amounts, John, to come and see a certain finish that they wanted to see. And they didn't get it. And the thing I would say to Triple H and Paul Levesque and just, you know, the whole nine yards as far as WWE is, okay, you told Cena to do it and he was okay. I'll go along with it. Okay, it's good. That's fine. People are pissing on it. People are really mad about it. People are really, really upset about it. I understand that, and they have a very much of a right to do so. I'm going to say this as someone who is not a big Cena fan. I thought it was the wrong move because the fact financially it might hurt you. We'll see what this does a year from now, John, whether or not the WWE's business, what will be like a year from now, and which we should remember and comment on if that's the case. Or how is AEW's business? Because in all the chants that out there, one notable chant that was made that people could audibly hear was AEW, along with the expletive chants as well. I'm just going to say this. He needs to run with this. If I was able to sit down with Triple H and Paul Levesque, I'm eyeing and I'm asking him, did you do this so you could become the next Mr. McMahon and run that angle all over again? Because your verbiage, which you've used before about time-honored tradition and doing business the right way, blah, 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 blah. Yes, you have used those words before, Paul. But, and I say this as a big but, this echoes the same exact verbiage that Vince McMahon used in his famous tape promo that he made shortly after the Montreal Screwjob, if you remember.
Mm-hmm.
So with that, I would tell him, okay, you made your move. You're now in bed. You're going to have to line it. Embrace it. Embrace that role and now become the next Mr. McMahon. Because if you don't, and apathy is, and if you just go back behind the curtain and that's it, nothing else happens, and it's just back the same, the status quo, John, is that this business, it's not the right financial maneuver. And it will not prove out to be most likely the best financial mover. Mr. McMahon deal and he does become the preeminent antagonist for the WWE, just like Vince McMahon 30 some odd years ago, then you could have yourself a revival of the slowly losing steam business that they currently now have, John. And I'll leave it to you, my friend.
Well, I hope that you're wrong, because I do not want to see another Vince McMahon, evil owner storyline with Triple H. I don't want to see that. But I feel like they've painted themselves in the corner where they don't have that many options now, where they have to do something.
That's why I say it was probably best not to make that finish the way it was.
Yeah, and here's the funny thing that it came out, I think, last week. David Otunga had tweeted out or posted on social media or something about John Cena and how he was backstage and he was heavy into politics. Yeah, and a quote bully, and he was heavy into politics and, you know, whatnot. Look, everybody politics in this business of pro wrestling. Everybody does. So
you're always trying to get your spot, right?
Exactly. So they're, you know, I'm sure that John Cena maybe said, I don't really like this finish, but I'll go with it. You know, and he couldn't politic his way into coming up with something else. Maybe that to me shows that maybe Triple H was behind this whole finish.
But John, I'm telling you right now, if John Cena wasn't good with it, he wouldn't have done it. If John Cena wasn't good with anything vehemently, anything, he could have been, you know, disagreeable, but say, oh, okay, he went along with every decision that was made. If he did not initiate those creative decisions himself, he went along with everything. He has enough clout. He didn't have to come back in the first place. He could have easily said no at any point in time to whatever decision was made in the past year. But John, he has that clout. He could easily go to above Paul Levesque to Ari Emanuel and say, you know what, sorry TKO, I'm not gonna do it. But he didn't. I think he just was on the way out, just all year long was just like, okay, I'm just cool with whatever. Seemingly that's the facade that I'm seeing And by the results, it seemingly that was the case. He just seemed like he was just happy to be out there for a year, and now he's done with it. But I think, does the loss eat at him? Does this loss eat at him to the point where he has to feel like he comes back in the ring? Again, let me know after Saudi WrestleMania in 2 years, and we'll leave it at that.
Well, I will say, to me, one of the positives of the Saturday night's main event was two things. One, and we know this as wrestling fans, we know this beyond a shadow of a doubt, but once again, we were shown that the WWE production crew, wow, they do a very good job. They do a great job with all those video packages, Gerald. Mm-hmm. They knocked it out of the park, as they always do. But that I thought was great. And I also kind of like the subtle subtext of we're going to have matches featuring WWE superstars against some of the up-and-comers from NXT. I like that. I thought that was good. I thought that they wove that into the storyline, that Cena was always helpful to people in the back. And, well, maybe not David Otunga. But anyway, but anyways, he was always helpful with the new kids, if you will. And I thought that was a cool little subplot to go through. I'm going to hold off on talking about those matches, because that kind of is going to lead into our second topic about the up and coming, next superstars in the world of wrestling. So I'm going to hold off on that for the time being.
With Gunther though, you can't say he's the up and coming wrestler because he's actually in his mid 30s. I mean, which is prime for wrestler. I get that, but you can't say he's an up and coming wrestler, but, if you know where you're going with this and you don't go all in on it, then there's a high likelihood that it may not work itself out, as far as financially for you, because you pissed off a lot of people. We've seen before, John, where a decision was made. The Dusty Rhodes finishes. The Dusty Rhodes from himself. Mm-hmm. There were points in time where they ruined themselves in certain cities after making those dusty finishes, where they just the people okay, and to let everybody know out there, if they're not up to speed on a Dusty Rhodes finish, Dusty Rhodes is often credited as coming up with the finish where the usually a good guy will win a title or championship or match, very important match, and then the loser, usually the bad guy, will still end up getting the title through some sort of technicality. They had their foot on the rope, or they were thrown over the top rope for disqualification or something like that. There would usually be some type of thing that the ref would become wary of about 5 minutes later after the celebration was going on that would give them the heel, the bad guy, the match. And in some cases, in some cities, it ruined the business for that specific cities with decisions like that. Booking decisions, John, can sometimes really affect your future in these areas or on television. So I'm interested to see what the backlash and what the fallout from this will be. But I'm just telling you right now, my friend, as much as you don't want to see it, and as much as probably I don't want to see it, I think Triple H has to embrace the Mr. McMahon mode in order to try and get over, because it just seems like right now that's what it's pointing itself to. I mean, remember, the Mr. McMahon character was not ever intended to be something that was going to be a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Because of the fan reactions fed into that. Well, if the fan reactions keep feeding into it, I think we're going to have to see something come out of it. Plus, worst things worse, at least it's something that's going to shake up the WWE, because, so you and I've talked about it, they have lost a little bit of that steam and momentum that they had previously this year.
Agreed. And you know what? I'll be honest. During the matchup of Cena and Gunther, I was taken aback a little bit by the chance. I mean... I chuckled.
Oh, you didn't hear Cena sucks. Let's go, Cena. Cena sucks. Let's go, Cena. You didn't hear that anymore?
Remember
those days? Do you remember those days?
I do. I remember those days. I do. I remember the ECW one night stand where Cena got an earful, where I believe the sign was, if he won, we all riot. When they were given the business and dropping the F-bomb on Gunther, I was taken aback a little bit, because that's something that I think I can't remember, and it's probably happened, but I can't remember that ever happening again at a WWE event. But that definitely showed that they were into that match. And so just kind of cycling back to the match itself, really well done. My only gripe that I also had was, if he was in the sleeper, John Cena, why didn't he get woken up like we've seen in years before, when Brutus Beefcake would put the sleeper on somebody, then they'd have to hit him in the traps to wake him up. I thought that that would have been a cool little tip of the hat. And maybe would have had Cena sell it a little bit, because he seemed to be pretty okay.
At all. He just tapped out and he was just fine.
Yeah. Yeah. And then my other question was this, that, and I don't know, it made me laugh. Cena goes over and says thank you to, Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, Booker T, I think, was over there. Why was Haku there? Haku doesn't have any connection to John Cena, does he?
Not to my knowledge, but maybe he does. Maybe, again, we don't know what goes on behind the scenes. Maybe he does. I mean, Haku, not only being the toughest human being on the face of the planet in pro wrestling, if you know the stories behind pro wrestling, like, who is the guy that you want to go down a dark alley with? And for many years, it was Haku. But he's also known as an extremely nice guy. And of course, his sons are part of the Solo Sikoa outfit right now. So, but again, maybe he's just so well thought of as by John Cena and whatnot. So
I would just like to throw it out there. Haku, don't take offense to that. You can be wherever you want. Okay. Just don't come pick me up. Okay.
He probably still could. He probably could still be both of us, and it probably would still, be ready to go ahead and have a snack afterwards. So, I think he's, legacy is there as far as more outside the ring than inside the ring. He was never really given a whole lot outside of a run as, I believe, King, and then also with Andre the Giant as a tag team match. But getting back to John Cena, I'm going to close out this part of the conversation. Again, I'm not sure if this is the way I would do it. I don't think this would be the way I do it. I know that I got a lot of feedback, not just from regular viewers like JSJ and some others, when I was doing the Lakers Fast Break, about how upset they were with the decision that was made, but also as well just the fact that, what are they going to do now? What is the future going forward? Because right now the status quo is not clicking 100%. They still sell out stadiums. I mean, the 45,000 for Petco or whatever they sold, 40,000 plus for Petco, you can't sneeze at. Because AEW couldn't go to San Diego right now and put up 40,000 people in that stadium right now. No, we all know that. That can't take place. So you still have the preeminent wrestling company on the entire planet. But in order to stay that way, you got to keep things fresh and exciting. And I'm not sure that even after this just John Cena decision that they did just that.
Well, let's just talk just for a couple minutes about the other matches on Saturday night main event. Because I think that they are trying to elevate some folks. I don't watch a lot of NXT. I watch bits and pieces here and there. I don't religiously watch it like some of the other shows. So I've not seen some of these people before. And I will say right now, I mean, we're talking about people that could be the next big superstar. Obafemi is, to me, impressed me a lot. And I have not seen a lot of his work, but he impressed me in that match with Cody Rhodes. And I thought, to be honest, if I was grading the entire show, I think that would be match of the night. But I mean, obviously we had a bigger main event that kind of would cloud my judgment a little bit. But I think that by doing that, I think that, like I said before, it's showcasing new talent, and it's also getting that little story over of, hey, this is Cena's time to pass the torch to the next generation, if you will.
We'll see what happens, my friend, but we'll get into it with the future of pro wrestling. But I wanted to just ask if you had thoughts on John Cena's last match in the WWE. For now, I'll just say last match. Again, I'm not thoroughly convinced. If the Saudis want Cena, Saudis will get Cena. I'll just leave it at that. But this is Cena's retirement match. Were you happy with the way it planned itself out? Were you happy with the decision that was made? Were you happy that he tapped out? Do you think it was the best decision for the company going forward? We want to hear your thoughts on all those different aspects of it. And we want to hear your thoughts on if Triple H, Paul Levesque made the right move or the wrong move. But please let John Orlando know at the PVDcast at pvdcast.com and wherever you get your PVDcast on social media and also podcast outlets. And of also, of course, me at the Pop Culture Cosmos on social media and YouTube as well. You can go ahead and leave your comment there. We'll try to get back as you as fast as possible on your thoughts, because I know there's a lot of emotions running high on John Cena, the GOAT, according to the WWE, which I had to. I'm telling you, John, see my knuckles, how white they are right now? That's how white they got every single time Michael Cole shoved that down my throat. I really had to endure listening to that so many times because I don't believe it. But again, if you think he's the GOAT, then much respect to you for that, because we should all respect each other's opinions. If you think that John Cena submitting to Gunther was the right thing, please let us know your thoughts. PVDcast or the Pop Culture Cosmos right here, wherever you get your podcasts. So 1/2 hour down, 1/2 hour to go here on the state of pro wrestling. It's John Orlando from the PVDcast and Matt Talk along with me, Terrell Glassford. Thanks so much again for listening. But this was actually a pretty good episode for us, John, to point out the fact that we talk about the past, because John Cena mainly represents the past. A lot of people's fond memories of him as they grew up, as far as what he represented and what he portrayed to them. You know, we could talk all that we want about the business. We talk all that we want about his moveset during much of that time or anything relating to John Cena, what have you. Again, no one can discount what impact he had to the WWE and to this industry as a whole. But what we're looking now is individuals who will take this industry to a new level. Who are the next John Cena's, Undertakers, let's say Rocks, Steve Austin's? Who are the next people as far as men and women who can make the change, who can take the movement forward, who can take this industry and pro wrestling forward and shape it into something even better than it is today? Your thoughts, my friend, on maybe some ideas. Did you want to do a countdown list, or did you want to just do random names? What age or limit are you cutting it off as? 30? That's
what I was going to ask. What are we cutting this off at? Because, you know,
you can't do under 18. Can't do 18, or, you know, because there's not many Rey Mysterios floating around right now that we know about that, you know, that start at what, 15, 16, I think, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's not too many of those looking, you know, writing up their work permits to go ahead and wrestle out on the independent scene right now. There probably is, but, you know, we don't know about them yet. Let's just say 30. Let's just say 30 is a nice round number. I know that ESPN and a couple other places have done their lists about under 30. I don't know if you want to do a ranking system or just throw out names.
Let's just throw out names. Yeah, let's just throw out names.
Then you can throw out the first name at me. Who do you think, my friend? And I will say yay or nay on that as well.
I'm going back to what I just said about 2 or 3 minutes ago. Obafemi really impressed me. He's got size. It looks like he has a pretty interesting character. The fans are behind him. That entrance was pretty darn good, too. I was real impressed with him. Like I said, I haven't seen a lot of him. In fact, I'm hard pressed to think if I've even seen a full match of his, but I would watch him now. He's got me. He converted me that if I watch NXT and I see that he's on the show, I'm going to make sure it's must see TV, if you will, to borrow a slogan, to check out his match. 'Cause like I said, I was very, very, very much impressed with him.
just wanted to mention to everybody that match John is referring to is that on the night at Saturday Night's Main Event that John Cena retired with his match with Gunther. On the card were matches that he expressed interest in because he wanted the future of the business represented in other matches with NXT wrestlers involved. And one of those was Obafemi versus Cody Rhodes. So, which didn't get to a finish, which I'm obviously saving that for some time down the road, but Drew McIntyre interfered, but I cannot say I disagree with you. Obafemi looks like a superstar in the making. How big of a superstar? We'll have to wait and see.
Well, the next person I'm going to throw out there is a gentleman we've talked a lot about, and I think he's right at the 29 years old or 30 years old mark, but Bron Breakker. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's got the pedigree. He has shown that he can work in that ring. He can be physical in the ring. He can make it look really, really, really like his dad. He can make it look really hard-hitting and impressive. And now, as we saw, two or three weeks ago, his promo about you almost broke my neck, CM Punk, et cetera, et cetera. He's got the final piece of the puzzle, I think. He's got the promos down now. So I think the sky's the limit for Bron Breakker. Will he be world champion? I think he will. I think he will, probably in 2 or 3 years, not right now. He's already had, the Intercontinental title, if I remember correctly? Uh-huh. So he's already had that title. He knows what goes into carrying a title in the WWE. So I think nothing more than the sky's the limit for Bron Breakker.
Okay. I'll say this, my friend. Bron Breakker, I think that time may come sooner than you're thinking on the title, because they are positioning him as the head of Vision to replace Seth Rollins. Whether it was due to Seth Rollins' injury, that might have sped this all up. But Bron Breakker, his future may be sooner than we think. I don't know. It wouldn't be out of the question to see something at Royal Rumble as far as him winning it or him in a title match or at WrestleMania. I wouldn't say it'd be out of the realm of possibility, because I think it's not out of the realm of possibility, my friend, that they want to go ahead and push the button sooner than later than him. I'm not sure he is ready enough for it. I think that, I think the fans need to be maybe given a little bit more guidance to him as far as being in that realm to go ahead and accept him as a world champion. But I think it's close. I think it's close. And I think might see something a lot sooner by the end of 2026. Maybe we'll have to wait and see, my friend. I would still say that there are other wrestlers I would love to see get the title before Breakker, because when Breakker has it, I think you need a long run with him because mm-hmm. he can be that dominant. But I think that they might be going, especially if the business dictates otherwise, they might be trying to do something fresh and get the title out of the hands of Cody Rhodes or CM Punk. And also as well, of course, you cannot forget Roman Reigns, because two of those three guys will be holding the titles, at least for the foreseeable future, for the most part. Maybe bring Seth Rollins back in the mix, whatnot. But if that quartet doesn't work out financially, then you might be looking a little bit towards eyeing someone like Bron Breakker, maybe to go ahead and, have him run with the ball a lot sooner than you think.
And I also think that his partner in the Vision, Bronson Reed, has a very bright outlook. Now, is Bronson Reed going to be a huge mega star? Probably not, but we need people that are solid mid-card guys. And he could certainly fill the role of like a King Kong Bundy or a Bam Bam Bigelow.
How old is he, though?
That's a good question. I don't know.
I'll check his age. I think he is over 30.
Is he over 30?
He is 37, yes. So he is he's no longer the young upstart anymore, my friend. His time is now, as the John Cena goes. But did you have any more young up-and-coming wrestlers that you had in mind, my friend?
I'll throw one more out. Again, I think he fits. He just slides in at that 29, but I was going to say Austin Theory. I think he's still young enough.
You're going to have to sell me on him because, you know, his time previously as someone who started out like, oh, yeah, I see what you're seeing there. And then all of a sudden, after his time with Vince McMahon as his favorite child, I was like, I don't see what everybody's seeing there. And so I don't know. You're going to have to sell me hard on Austin Theory. I'm just going to.
All right. He is 28. I just looked it up. He's 28. Look, bad booking has really hurt his career. I mean, the tag team with Grayson Waller, awful, abysmal, terrible. I think he started off so well when he came in and he had the feud with Cena where he was going to beat Cena. He's got that arrogant cockiness to him that I think could make him a heel. But I could see him being one of those too cool type of baby faces. Like he's, you know, like an LA Knight or like The Rock or whatnot. I could see him doing that and having some success. Again, much like Bronson Reed, I think he's a solid mid-card guy. I don't think he's going to go and win the world championship. I don't think that's in the cards for him, but I think he would be a solid individual that you could, hey, if you could beat Austin Theory, then you can get a shot at Bron Breakker or CM Punk or Cody Rhodes. I think that he would be a reclamation project because of the bad booking. But I think with that project, you could kind of mold things to his benefit where he could be a standout superstar. And you're still not convinced, I know.
No, I'm not. I'm sorry. Especially in his own, when he's looking over at, of course, Bron Breakker at one side, and then the other, my choice, Dominic Mysterio. Not only because he suggested the greatest suggestion for In-N-Out hamburgers, mustard grilled hamburgers of all time, as what you know, because I heard him in an interview with Chris Van Vliet. He likes chicken tenders, and then when he goes to In-N-Out, it's mustard grilled. So I said, okay, I'll try mustard grilled with pickles, which they don't normally serve. So I'm like, oh, I'll give it a try. I was like, okay, changed my life when it comes to my perspective on In-N-Out burgers. I'll just say that. But be that as it may, Dominic Mysterio could have been easily targeted for the mid-card or for lower mid-card in where he was at on his trajectory alongside his dad. Could have easily ended up because he was getting just to be another by the book, paint by numbers, baby face. And it was just, it was not looking pretty, John. And there's no way it would have looked this good. But since leaving his father, since betraying his father and joining up with the Judgment Day and all that, and actually evolving beyond the Judgment Day, because the Judgment Day has been like, eh. And he's been like way above it. He doesn't need the Judgment Day at this point in time. The Judgment Day needs him at this point in time for effectiveness. He has purely outclassed himself as one of the top heels on the planet. He doesn't have quite the same heat that he did this time last year when it was nuclear heat, as they say in the business, but it's still pretty darn good heat. He held himself and handled himself very well, I believe, in two solid matches with John Cena and how it carried him as far as, I think John Cena, again, you know, wanted to put over some guys to help get the move on them's career, time-honored tradition, whatnot. One of them, it didn't need to do it for Gunther, I don't think, but he, you know, I was glad that he could do it for Dominic Mysterio because Dominic Mysterio, I think, is really playing above what his trajectory would have been. And we could be seeing a possible world champion on our hands at some point in time. A very honky-tonk man or heelish champion. But if they need someone that could get that type of heat, we now see that Dominic Mysterio can do just that. And I don't know how many others can get those type of reactions. Of all these young wrestlers that we would be talking about, how many of them are going to get the type of insane reactions that we have seen Dominic Mysterio get in both the U.S. abroad and in Mexico as well with what he's doing with the AAA. Don't forget what he's doing with AAA as well.
Right. He's the AAA mega champion, which is the equivalent of a world title in AAA, and definitely he's done so much and improved so far as well. I still think, and I'm sure that you agree with me, Gerald, we're still going to see that babyface turn. And when you were talking about him being a world champion, I think he would be a good babyface world champion. I don't know about being the heel champion. I do. I think he could, because I think, and I hate to say this because I'm sure he gets compared to it all the time, he could be like an Eddie Guerrero. He could be that.
And now he could be like an Eddie, because he's embraced that whole scenario. He didn't before, when he was just, you know, the squeaky clean babyface alongside his dad, and that was boring, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, now you could say lie, cheat, steal Eddie Guerrero, which endeared him to many fans during his run in the WWE before it was untimely cut short. So that's the case I could see that happening, but I could also see him winning it like a very heelish fashion, winning the maybe the Money in the Bank.
Oh yeah.
Winning it, you know, like in somebody's down right there. They won their title, like a CM Punk just lying there on the mat, and then he just covers them in a very cheat heel like fashion, and then just have it for just a short period of time. But I do see that in his future. I do see him now being a upper tier to, you know, maybe even someday maintaining a top near top level spot, despite the fact, you know, he does have the strength, physique. His moveset is very similar to his dad's, and also putting in some Eddie Guerrero as well. So it's okay. It's not, you know, he's not going to be known as a super ring technician, but he is someone that's going to be known as someone who can create a reaction. And that's what counts the most, the reaction.
That's what I was going to say when you were talking about his moveset. I was going to say, you know, a lot of luchadors don't have a very deep moveset because they want to pop that crowd, and they want to see, okay, he's going to do this dive, and he's going to do that flip, he's going to do this kick and whatnot. So I, it would be nice if Dominic would add more to it, and he probably will. He'll come up with things that are of his own. I'm sure of it. And, I agree with you. I think the sky's the limit for him.
All right. So I got one out of the way. You've got a couple out of the way. Is there any more that you wanted to go ahead and stress? Because there are some potentials out there. I know there's a lot around 28, 29, which is almost cheating to the point of it, because I know that we could go Rhea Ripley, who's 28.
But she's done so much that I don't know what more we could say about her, to be honest with you, Gerald. She's
at her peak right now.
Yeah.
I won't say she's at her peak because of the broken nose. It's kind of, you know, put her into the mist. Now she's in a tag team with Io Sky. So we'll see if once she gets the nose back and doesn't have to wear the face guard, I'm assuming they're going to put her into a singles push once again against either Jade Cargill or does she go after the Raw title? We'll have to wait and see how that goes. But yeah, Rhea Ripley is definitely already arrived, and so that's the case. Someone who's already arrived but could be the future for the WWE is, if he wants to stay in the business, MJF, who's 29 years old himself. But then again, he's a big question mark because he is coming back right around the time we record this to AEW. How long he'll stay, what he'll do, nobody seems to know. His eye, John, is already wandering at the movie industry. His eye is already over there. He's already done a lot of work. He's just coming back from a movie project. I don't know how long he has left in this business, because I don't know how long, much longer he's going to stay committed to it. But whatever the case may be, as we've complained about with AEW booking and WWE booking, AEW booking has tried its best to kill MJF, but he somehow, like a cockroach, still finds his way to the top at some point in time, in some way, in some grandeur fashion that only he can do. So he is uniquely gifted. He is probably one of the most gifted individuals I've seen in the past 15 years, as far as coming to the scene, as far as what he can do. The thing is whether or not he still wants to apply it at that same level because of what may go on in the future with him staying with AEW and getting a fat paycheck for doing a less and then eyeing more Hollywood, going in all time for Hollywood, full time for Hollywood, or finally taking the plunge and going into the WWE where his skills and his charisma will get him over anywhere he goes.
Yeah, MJF is another one like Rhea Ripley, where I kind of like thought about it because he's like, he's 29, I think he is.
29.
So, but he's done so much, you know, especially in these last 6 or 7 years, he's done a lot. The big question mark is, does he stay or does he go? I would think that the WWE would be really wise to use him correctly, but the fact that MJF is not a super jacked guy, you know, he's not small by any means, but you know what I mean? He's not 6'6", he's not 3'10", you know, he's
Dominic,
you know,
Mysterio isn't.
No, that's true. That's true. I just would hope, that would be my fear, is that the WWE would somehow ruin MJF even more than what AEW has done. But they have to figure out what they're going to do, both sides, because I agree with you. If he's having success in the movie business, you might as well go, because you make better money or equivalent money, hopefully, and you have a little more flexibility, a little less wear and tear on your body. I mean, it's kind of a no-brainer, I would think.
I'll have to wait and see. I mean, he has done a lot for AEW, and the growth of AEW can, well, I don't know where you could say growth now, but where it is now, because there's very much speculation on where you think AEW is as a company. One of these days, we're going to have to really do a deep dive on where we think that is. But a lot of their early year success can be attributed to the rise of MJF as a character. And again, I think that, you know, if he's chooses, the future is still extremely bright for him, whether it's, you know, taking those part-time paychecks at AEW, or whether it's taking a full-time deal with WWE, or going full-time or even part-time into the world of movies even more. So we'll have to wait and see. But yes, my friend, there's still a lot of good, you know, wrestlers out there. Like I said, Obafemi we talked about. I know a lot of people have talked about Sol Ruka, who just beat Bayley on that card as well. I know that she's talked about. Roxanne Perez in the WWE is talked about because she is in her early 20s, so there's still a ways to go with her as far as what she's going to do. Tiffany Stratton is in her mid-20s, so there's a long way to go for her, and she just came off a title run as well. I mean, you know, wherever you go around the world, where do you think Sari is also talked about as far as from overseas about what she has done? And she is closing in on the big 3-0, but she's still in her 20s, but she has become one of the best female workers on the planet and could be someone that could be primed to move to AEW or WWE. But are there any other interested parties you'd like to see highlighted as well?
Well, funny you mentioned that. I was going with Will Ospreay, but he's 32, so like,
but
darn
what
it.
About Kyle Fletcher? Although, you know, as we speak, you know, there AEW puts him on a pedestal and then tries every bit to knock him off. This Continental Classic that's going on at the day we record this, or time we record this, it's doing its best to showcase great matchups, and then does its best to showcase great losses as well. Kyle Fletcher getting upset the other day doesn't help his cause, especially for someone that I think they should be protecting a little bit more than they should, because I believe he does have an extremely bright future as well.
Yeah, I think I would like to see Kyle Fletcher be removed from the Don Callis family, because I think that's not the place to be. I think that, just to me, the Don Callis family is just, it's just a bunch of hodgepodge of people they have no idea what to do with, so they throw him in with Don Callis. And I think Kyle Fletcher, the sky's the limit. He could do better. He would be better on his own. And I think the future's pretty bright for him. I just, to me, I would like to see a reworked character a little bit. And again, that's why I'm saying if he was off on his own, then maybe we could, he could fine tune some of those things or maybe come up with some even better ideas than what they have him doing right now. But he certainly is one that I thought would be definitely somebody that would be a big time superstar. I also had Trick Williams, but I just looked it up. He's 31. So all of these ones that I'm picking are.
Well, just... Javon Evans, who also has gotten a lot of people knows, he is, I believe, below 30, if I'm not mistaken. So he does still represent a great future for the WWE as well. So I think Javon Evans is still under the age of 30, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, and there's they're, in fact, him and Leon Slater were on the Saturday Night's Main Event taking on AJ Styles and
Dragon Lee.
And Dragon Lee. Thank you. I couldn't remember I couldn't remember who that.
That was a really solid match. That was a really solid match, and I think they both have a really bright future. I think that that's agreeable as well. AZM overseas that are not fully part of WWE or AEW. AZM, she has done a great job. She is very young at 22, comparatively speaking. So I look for her to gain more stardom after her time in stardom is done. I think that if she wants to come over to one of the big two, that she would do extremely well there. And then also as well, I wanted to go ahead and point out El Hijo de Vikingo. El Hijo de Vikingo, if he could stay healthy. That's always a prefix for him. He's one of the elite high flyers in all of the world. But I don't know if a company can commit to him because his health is always a concern because of his risky high flying.
Yeah, indeed. In fact, is he under 30?
He is 28.
He's 28. Okay. All right. Just kind of seems like he's been around for forever.
Well, I mean, a Lucha Libre wrestler, does that really surprise you?
That's true.
But yeah, some great suggestions from John and myself on you know, the future of this business. We'll see if that turns out to be some really great talent that will rise, or who else may become the next John Cena, Steve Austin's, Rock's, Undertaker's. Who will be rising, the next Charlotte Flair, the next Asuka, the next superstars of the world and the best that there is. But my friend, it's been a great ride with you on this special edition of the State of Pro Wrestling. But is there any other names before we have Blake Monroe, aka Mariah May? I do want to mention her. She's 27. So after coming off her feud with Toni Storm, who's also 29 herself, that was okay. One of the best feuds of the year. One of the only correct things storyline wise AEW has done. And she loved it so much, she went on to WWE and is now a star in NXT. Blake Monroe is. So both of those ladies are still under 30. And even though Toni Storm's time in WWE didn't go as planned, give her a lot of credit for rebuilding her character and then finding a company that would go along with it.
Yeah, I was going to mention Toni Storm. I didn't know how old she was.
29.
29. Look, she's done remarkable with that timeless Toni Storm gimmick. I mean, it's still, I think, one of the most popular gimmicks on AEW television. I think it's great, even though I'm not so sure about having Mina Shirakawa as her tag team partner. I don't know how that team's going to work. I know that they're involved in the women's tag team title picture. But I feel like Toni Storm is a superstar right now. I think that she can rise to the next level, that she'll be making big changes for the women's roster, hopefully on AEW. And what I mean by that is I got a little tongue tied by that. I think that she can elevate some of the other, you know, talent like Alex Windsor and Willow Nightingale and Julia Hart, and those, she can help elevate them by working with them, because I think she's a pretty steady hand in the ring.
Ricky Starks, who actually I believe is 20 years old, Billy Starks. I'm sorry. Billy, not Ricky Starks. Billy Starks. I'm sorry. is 20 years old. Ricky Starks is actually a little bit older. But you can't. Ricky Saints now is what you call him. But Billy Starks is 20 years old. Someone to watch out for, maybe as a young lady who is progressing through AEW. Someone that they're taking along slowly, but maybe make her name for herself at some point in time as well. But my friend, those are our thoughts on the future of pro wrestling. And if any names or individuals pop up, you know, I know we'll be bringing that name up in future conversations. Also as well, look forward to our best of 2025 show as well. Mm-hmm. If you go ahead and get a chance to check it out here. But before we head on out, my friend, what are you doing at the PVD cast? And of course, also as well, Matt Talk, as far as why need the people check this thing out?
Well, I'll go with the PVD cast first because it has been, believe it or not, I celebrated the anniversary on December 12th. December 12th, nice. It's been 13 years and 507 episodes. At the time of this recording. And again, I'm very awestruck by that and proud of it too. But the PVD cast is my own personal podcasting project. I like to highlight lots of different things that I'm interested in, whether it's comic books, movies, hockey, or pro wrestling. And just more recently here over the last couple of weeks, have had some great episodes, including one that I'm pretty stoked for. It was my trip to GalaxyCon. The big pop culture convention came to Columbus, Ohio. I got an opportunity to spend 3 days talking to some folks over there. And the highlight was for me to get an opportunity to chat with Brian O'Halloran, also known as Dante from the Clerks. I'm a big Clerks fan. So that was really cool for me to get 4 or 5 minutes of his time to talk to him. So you can check that out over at pvdcast.com or wherever you find great podcasts. And then the oddball, the little podcast that could, I like to call it, Matt Talk. It's the only Matlock-themed podcast on the planet. We're talking about the old version, the 1990s version, starring Andy Griffith, where my partner Jason and I, we watch an episode, we review it, we critique it, we even poke a little fun at it, and those drop the second and fourth Sundays of every month. So if you like Andy Griffith, if you like vintage television, stop on by and check it out. It's available at Matt Talk Podcast on Facebook and through all of the other PVD cast outlets as well.
So for John Orlando, this is Gerald Glassford. It's the State of Pro Wrestling right here for you from the PVD cast and the Pop Culture Cosmos. We thank you for listening and watching as well. And here's hoping your next trip into the ring is a good one, and happy holidays. Ding, ding, ding.
Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. My conversation with Gerald Glassford talking about John Cena's retirement. And I hope that you enjoyed this episode, and you can let me know if you did through a couple different avenues. First of all, you can find me on Twitter. Yes, I'm still on Twitter. The personal Twitter handle over there is at PVDMVP. You can also drop me a line over at the Facebook, Instagram, and Threads accounts. Just look for at PVDcast. And if you want to be old school and shoot me an email, you can do that as well. The email address is johnorlando@pvdcast.com. Now, maybe you would like to let some folks know about where they can hear the show. Well, there's a couple different avenues for that as well. First off is pvdcast.com, the online home of yours truly, and probably the best place to get every single new episode of the show. But the PVDcast is also available through all those major podcasting outlets, you know, like Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio app, etc., etc. All you have to do is go to your favorite app, go to the search bar, put in PVDcast. Sometimes you have to put my name after it, and you should find it. And while you are on that app, I need you, I beg of you, please, rate and review. Rating and reviewing helps me out in the algorithm, and it's very important for podcasters and those apps and those outlets to know that you're listening. And by the way, while you're doing that, You can also subscribe so that you never miss an episode of the PVD cast. But there's a third way that you can hear each and every show, and that is through the Facebook page at PVDcast, where every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, I do a little live broadcast with the week's episode. So there's three different ways that you can hear the show: PVDcast.com, through your favorite podcasting app or outlet, and of course, Wednesday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, through the Facebook page. All right, folks, with that being said, I want to wish you all a very happy holidays and a safe one as well. I hope it's surrounded by friends and family and that you have the best time that you can with the people that you love. And so again, happy holidays. I will see you in January on the 8th for the newest episode. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to get on out of here. I want to thank you for listening, and I will chat at each and every one of you later. Stay righteous, stay independent, stay safe and healthy. Presentation of John Orlando Enterprises, LLC, copyright 2025.